Now then, we're going to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, the whole of that chapter, and we'll be considering the opening 17 verses later now in the service. So the first Gospel in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Ammon. Ammon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile in Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Atzo. Atzo, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eliezer. Eliezer, the father of Matthan. Matthan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile at Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of and from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord bless that portion of his word to our hearts. Now, in considering together this morning the opening 17 verses of Matthew chapter 1, we might think that it's nothing more than a very long list of names that may be difficult to pronounce. But what we have before us here is the family tree of Jesus of Nazareth. And perhaps I'm sure all of us, or many of us, have already placed a tree in our house, thinking about the celebration of Christmas. Some interesting facts with regards to real Christmas trees. About 8 million real Christmas trees are bought every year in the UK. But 2/3 of homes choose an artificial tree. Well, if you've got an artificial tree, you can put it up in October or the early part of November. If you're going to buy a real tree, then it's probably about this time of the year, 10 days or a fortnight, although they do tell me that they're so well sprayed today that they will last the whole time if you do actually buy one at the beginning of December. The most popular tree in the UK at this time of the year then is the Nordman fir. 80% of sailors are of that particular species. This year, there is a Welsh-grown Christmas tree, 18 foot, 6 inches tall, that is on display outside 10 Downing Street. The Gower farmer from Three Crosses, you know him well, has won a competition. He was a runner-up about 3 or 4 years ago, and the Christmas tree he provided was put inside the building. Well, this time he's won the competition, and it's on display outside. Here is a farmer who diversified 20 years ago and has now some 500,000 Christmas trees planted in his fields. And you can go and visit it. You can go and buy a Christmas tree. You can see some of the reindeer that he's got there as well, as a little shop. But whatever we're doing with regards to a Christmas tree this year, these verses are telling us then about the account and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Matthew won't permit us to develop that in the later chapters of this book unless we first of all meet the members of his family tree. At first glance, nothing seems more off-putting than have to read through a tedious list of characters with strange names. And some commentators have pointed out that the idea of Matthew's gospel was that it would give the Jewish nation an account of the life of Jesus of Nazareth that would be well suited or tailor-made for them exclusively, whereas Luke perhaps would go on to pen an account that would be more suitable for Gentile readers. Well, as we look through even this opening section, we may be persuaded that the account certainly does bring us hope, not only to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. As a matter of fact, to all who are sinners and strangers from God. Now, there are many genealogies, lists of names in the Old Testament, and although we might consider them uninteresting, as perhaps we plough through the scores of names, the purpose always of such a list is to have an understanding, to establish in the minds of individuals the right to belong to a community of God's people. It's a means of establishing significance. It's a means of establishing legitimacy. It's a means of establishing identity. So we're going to examine these verses briefly this morning. First of all, considering the identity that it heralded from verse 1. Then secondly, we look at the impressive heritage of some of the names that are mentioned in these verses. And then also some interesting highlights and to draw some practical conclusions. Now I'm sure perhaps if you do have a real Christmas tree, then really the Christmas tree, although perhaps it may be a different one every year if you're buying a new one, in one sense it tells your family story. The first bauble, isn't it? Baby's first Christmas. There's a film called Christmas with the Cranks, based on a book by John Grisham. And one of the incidents was the family decided not to bother to celebrate Christmas this year because their daughter's gone away. And then their daughter rings them up to say she's coming back for Christmas. They've got no Christmas tree. Fortunately enough, the man realizes that his neighbors are traveling away, speaks to the man of the house and agrees to have a lend and a borrow of the Christmas tree and put it back in time for them when they return, so that the Christmas tree can be in the house when his daughter returns and they can have the party. And as they're carrying the Christmas tree out, one of the baubles sadly falls. And the friend has said, you can have a lend of the Christmas tree, but whatever you do, don't break anything. And the little boy who's helping him breaks this bauble, and the man who's borrowing the tree says, what was on it? Baby's first Christmas. Irreplaceable. Well, in one sense, as we look at these verses, in one sense, this is the family history. It might have been something, perhaps, that you made when you were young. Might have been a bauble, perhaps, that a relation bought for you. It might be that in relation to this, we buy a different bauble every year. And in that sense, this is what's happening here. We've got a Christmas tree which tells our family story. You're quite aware, well aware, that in toddlers on a weekly basis now for many years, we've bought a quantity of baubles, we put the children's name on them, and we put Bethel and the year that in which it is, and they stays on our Christmas tree downstairs, and in the Christmas party, they take it home and put it on their Christmas tree. And I have mums coming back perhaps with a second or maybe the third child, grandparents also as well, and saying, are you still doing the baubles? And they still put the baubles on the Christmas tree today. It's a reminder of some part of their life in the past. Well, that's basically what we're seeing here. So although it looks like a list of names, it's quite interesting. The identity heralded in verse 1 tells us this. It's a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The opening words, record of genealogy, translates a phrase which can be rendered book of the generations or Genesis. The account of the origin, lineage or birth of someone. We find it in the book of Genesis, don't we? With regards to Adam in chapter 5 and verse 1. The written account of Adam's line. The book of the generations of Adam. You see it also with regards to Jacob in chapter 37 and verse 2 of the book of Genesis. And Matthew clearly underlines three elements. That firstly, Jesus is the son of Abraham, able to trace roots to the father of the Jewish faith. Notice, however, the definite article. Not a son of Abraham, but the son of Abraham. Every Jew could say he was a son of Abraham, but Matthew is stating that Jesus is the son of Abraham, through whom the promise to bless the world is fulfilled. Remember how God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, is recorded in verse 3. The Lord called Abraham to leave his country and his father's household with the promise, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Secondly, we also read that Jesus is also the son of David. Now, not all Jews could claim that they were members of the royal line of kings from the tribe of Judah. There were probably thousands who could trace their ancestry to David, claiming they were directly descended. But Matthew states Jesus, again, is not a son of David, the son of David. This was a title used by the religious leaders of the day when asked by Jesus who the son or who the Christ was. They respond here in this gospel, Matthew 22:42, the son of David. They reply. The poor ordinary folk also used to use this title. Think of Matthew chapter 20. There are two blind men, on hearing that Jesus is coming along the road outside Jericho, shout, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. Matthew is proclaiming that the promise to David, originally given in 2 Samuel 7 verse 16, that your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. It's fulfilled in the coming of Christ, Jesus, into the world. More importantly for us this morning is the use of the definite article in the phrase Jesus Christ. A record of Jesus, the Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, it doesn't appear in the NIV, but the definite article is there in the Greek. A record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, this is not, then, a proper name, which it later became. And we think perhaps of Jesus as his first name and Christ as his surname. It's not a proper name. It's actually an adjective. Jesus the anointed. Jesus the chosen one. Jesus is the Greek equivalent of Joshua. And that word then means Messiah in Hebrew, and it points to God's salvation. Later in verse 21 of this chapter, we read, we're left in no doubt as to the saving work of this Jesus that he accomplishes, saving us from our sins, saving us from their punishment and from the power of sin in our lives. Jesus has then this honored identity. He is Jesus the Christ. He is the son of Abraham. He is the son of David. He's not like that Christmas present many of us were perhaps given as a child, an identity kit. And you had a little face and you could choose whether the face then would have hair or no hair, whether it would have eyebrows, whether it would have what sort of nose it would have, and you could make up a face. Well, what we have very clearly here, there's no identity kit to pick and choose the features you decide to make a face or to make a person. Matthew is not thinking primarily of saving now the planet from global warming, whether it's a real or a perceived threat. Jesus is not an eco-campaigner. Neither is he a social worker who is seeking to save the breakup of marriages in family life. Saving people from their sins is the prime function for which he comes. Oh, it may have an impact upon how we drive our cars or what sort of car we drive and how we dispose of our waste and how we may treat our spouse, our husband or our wife or how we relate to our children. Yes, it will have an impact upon that, but these are the consequences of the great work of sins being forgiven in a sinner's life. And so that's the identity that is heralded. Jesus the Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. Now, secondly this morning, let's look at this impressive heritage from verse 2 to 16. These verses before us are important because they provide us with an historical basis for the life of Jesus Christ. There are some who deny the very human existence of Jesus and think of him as nothing more as a figment of imagination or an image of goodness that has been perhaps picked up, like that identity kit. You make up a little image of goodness that we try to live by, or rather than perhaps think of rules in a book. So you picture a perfect man, a nice man, a good man, and you say, now try and be like a nice man. Picture a nice man, picture a good man, picture a kind man. And that's what we have. But basically then people thought, well, we'd better make up a story about it. Others are quite happy to speak of what they call not the person of Christ, the concept of Christ. The idea of someone in some way, perhaps in a particular generation, being chosen to do something special in that generation. And so the concept of Christ, a concept of a deliverer, a concept of a teacher that comes and guides and leads a country or introduces a new thought and so develops community and friendliness. There are Christs then in that sense in every generation who challenge humanity to be perhaps more caring and more thoughtful and less selfish in their lives. But I don't know if you've put up your Christmas tree yet, but I'm sure that when you do, you'll not leave it bare, will you? Standing in the corner of the room, on each branch you will put objects, some reminding you of the past, the bauble your mother bought you, the cross-stitch picture your loved one made, a decoration painted by your son or daughter or grandchild. Some bring a smile to our face. Others will bring a tear to the eye. Well, the family tree of our Saviour is a little like that, as we've sought to underline. There are some sad reminders of the past as well as brighter moments in the family history. Verses 2 to 6a, the great patriarchs are mentioned. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They're as much a part of the lineage as the lesser known characters of men like Aminadab and Nashon. Then from halfway through verse 6 to verse 11, there are the good and the bad, the not so good kings of that follow. Ahaz, well, he was a king that was weak when he faced troubles. Hezekiah was more of a man who trusted God through hard and difficult times. But his son, Manasseh, well, he was in his prime probably the most evil of all the royal ancestors. So what you have here is a mixed bag. You have some good kings and some bad kings, but they're all part of this family tree. And then in verses 11 to 16, we have a list of those ancestors who initially were exiled into Babylon for a period of 70 years, and then who returned to Jerusalem to seek to rebuild the temple and the walls and the nation again. And God's preservation of the line, despite the captivity of Babylon and the attacks from such men as Haman in the time of Esther, is truly impressive. Other royal families of other conquered nations passed into obscurity. But this family line continued. However, by the time we read of Joseph, the nation of Israel is again under the authority now, not of the Babylonian Empire, but of the Roman Empire. The baton was passed on from one generation to the next until we read of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Definite article again there is used. God is at work then through the generations in the individual lives that make up the family tree. At the top of the tree, obviously, is the star that shines in the darkness, the pinnacle of perfect humanity, who is the saviour of sinners. But also in the family tree, there's a mixed bag of people. And we say, well, you see, shouldn't you sort of, if we had a little redacting pen, we'd say, oh, Manasseh, oh, put a line through that. We don't want him associated now with Jesus. You don't put a bad person in a list. As a matter of fact, we tend to airbrush our family history, don't we? This is one of the difficulties that we have had as a family, as we've sought to trace things back a little bit. We've come across some very doubtful, dubious things, and it's best left in the cupboard and left closed. So we're certainly not going to be writing the history of our family and the books and all the people. We've decided best left dead and buried. And it could have well have been the case, but no, you've got these individuals mentioned in this family tree. Let's look at some then of the interesting highlights. Again at verses 2 to 16. God's purposes are accomplished in a very surprising way. Often despite what we might think to be the obvious course of action, we're left amazed at what God has done and will do. God's salvation, you see, is all about grace. It's undeserved. It does not fall in with our expectation. Consider the following. Firstly, notice that the family tree is not always made up of the firstborn son. That was the culturally accepted idea. So a man, his older son, would inherit everything. This was the culturally accepted idea. But consider Isaac. Isaac wasn't the first son of Abraham. Consider Jacob. Jacob wasn't the first son either. And Judah certainly wasn't the first son of Jacob. Those you might think would do well, don't. And those you had little hope of, they remain solid in belief to the end. It's all of grace. Secondly, notice that many of the names were characters who were flawed. Abraham told lies to protect himself and put Sarah, his wife, at risk of molestation. Jacob, he deceived his brother Esau and impersonated him to get his father Isaac's blessing. Yet God is patient with them. Oh, he pruned them. He shaped them. Well, that's grace again in the life of a person. God saves sinners and he changes them. Thirdly, some in the family tree were foreigners. Some commentators suggest that all four women who are mentioned here, and that in and of itself is quite a unique thing. Usually you don't have names of women in the genealogy. It's very much a man-centered-dominated culture. And yet there are four individuals, women, mentioned here. Tamar, a Canaanite, verse 3. Rahab, from Jericho in the land of Canaan. Ruth, she was a Moabite. And even Bathsheba, well, she was married to a Hittite, so might could well have been a Hittite herself. They were at one time strangers to the commonwealth of Israel, without hope and without God in the world. And such a description fits so many of those who are today members of God's family. There are so many they had no religious background at all. Didn't go to Sunday school, no upbringing in that regard, and yet God came into their life and saved them. Even those who went through the exile and the difficulties in returning to Jerusalem are included in the list. They had felt forsaken, but God had restored them. So, whether you're not perhaps the firstborn favourite in your family, and perhaps you've always perhaps lived under the shadow of an individual, a sibling perhaps, that makes no difference to God's mercy and grace. If you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know him and become a member of his wonderful family. Perhaps you have a flawed character. You have history in the past of which you're ashamed. Well, again, God welcomes you if you believe and trust and believe in him. Perhaps you feel yourself to be a foreigner outside of the covenant of God's grace, and perhaps have felt, as a result of things that have happened in life, forsaken and disappointed, let down by others, by circumstances, or by life. Well, take heart this morning. God in his grace includes such in the family tree of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here they are. Take heart to this truth. And these observations also help us to appreciate what Paul was later to say in Romans chapter 8. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. In the likeness. He had no sin of his own, but he comes to rescue. Jesus the Christ is the central character of the Old and the New Testament. He's the central character of God's plan and purpose of salvation. He is the central character. Is he the central character in your life this morning? If not, will you turn to him? Will you ask him to cleanse you, to accept you, and to include you in his family? As we read this honourable list of the ancestry, we must close remembering that the kingdom, in kingdom terms, it is only those who do the will of God, who repent of their sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and go on to follow on in their life, that they are in a more honourable relation to Christ than those related to him in the flesh. We know this because in this very gospel, Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 and 50, tells us of an incident. When Jesus was informed that his mother and his brothers were outside the house and they wanted to see him. Pointing to his disciples who were sitting around him in the house, the Lord Jesus said this, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So it's not so much the family connections, it's not the bloodline, is it? It's what Abram was. Abram is the father of the faithful. He believed God and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Are you in the family of God? Are you part, in one sense, of the continuing family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ? May God help us to do so by his grace this morning. Amen.